And welcome to Pikapi Podcast. We're just a fan cast for Pokemon, going through each episode one by one. And the biggest news of this week is that we're on iTunes! Yes, I'm not incompetent, not completely. And in addition to getting on iTunes, which is a miracle in itself, we also have our first review from Patrick Drawn. So thank you, Patrick. I'm so glad you're listening. If you also found us on iTunes, welcome! But you probably haven't noticed the glaring evidence of my shaky technical skills yet. To the rest of you, I think the dust has settled. You can now find the cast on either the Videojug site or the Pikapi blog at blogspot.com. From now on, both episodes will be exactly the same, linked to the correct places, etc. I've also decided that I'm going to update 3 times a week, ideally on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, but it might get a little flexible in there sometimes. I figured 3 was a good amount. Any more would kill me, and any less will never make it through Johto. Housekeeping out of the way, let's get into episode 9, The School of Hard Knocks. This is one of my favorite episodes, just because it gives us canonical attraction from somewhat unlikely sources. Well, it's fun. When the episode opens, the trio are traveling, and as usual, the constant walking is causing tempers to fray. Misty and Ash are fighting about the bike issue, and Brock decides to break it up with a lunch break. Brock's got some sort of Mary Poppins thing going on with that backpack. It's like a bag of holding in D&D. And amongst the normal traveling items, he also keeps a tea set in there, tables. This is really the first moment where we get to see Brock let loose and be weird. Up to this point, he's always been so much cooler and older and mature, so it's nice to see that break down a little. I once read on a website, somebody commented that Brock was like Pikachu, and that the longer they traveled with Ash, the less they cared about looking a little silly or what people thought of them, and opened up more to having fun. And I think there might be some truth to that, although sooner or later, Brock will let loose completely, and then we'll see all the raving psycho that really exists under those squinty eyes. But he starts whipping teapots and chairs out of that backpack, and Misty reveals that she has a soft spot for the exotic finery, and Ash kinda is more of the hick that Shooty keeps calling him in best wishes. But Brock needs firewood to make crepes, and in the end, Ash is sent out to do it, resigned to his fate. He's kinda like the bossed around little brother here, despite the fact that this is his journey, and he's the only one who actually has any place they want to go. While calling for the firewood, no really, Ash stumbles upon a candlelight training session in the fog, where students are quizzing a kid running on a treadmill as to names and stats of various Pokemon. Unfortunately, the kid can't remember all the answers and falls off the treadmill. Ash gets there to save the day, or so he thinks, and in his bravado turns down help from Misty. Luckily, the other students turn down the fight before Ash gets massacred, and after they leave, Brock, Ash, and Misty discuss the school, Pokemon Technical, and peruse an old flyer while Pikachu checks out the treadmill. Pokemon Tech is a very expensive school, and it has high standards, meaning only the rich kids can afford to go. But if they graduate, they are automatically granted entrance to compete in the Pokemon League. Graduation is the equivalent of the 8 badges. Ash thinks that this is too easy, and that the underground student bullying training system is a violation of student rights. However, when he's shown a picture of the student in charge, well, as Brock put it, she can violate my rights if she wants. This is kind of a rare moment. First of all, Brock is attracted to a younger girl. Brock usually goes for older women, and has never been attracted to one younger than himself. This is the only occurrence, excepting maybe that time Ash dressed up as Juliet in the advanced season, but that was just weird. Speaking of Ash, he's attracted to the girl too! While it's implied that Ash and Misty may have a thing going on in later episodes, this is the only episode in the whole series to date, and I mean the only one, where Ash is shown falling for a girl. Whatever other attractions might exist within the depths of his heart, this is the only one that Ash confirms himself and rises above his indifference and oblivience to romance for. And, you know, Ash likes pretty girls. Now we know his type. The girl's name is Giselle. An interesting fact, she has a last name in Japanese. She's one of the few characters to have one, because, you know, even Satoshi doesn't have a surname, but but Shigeru does. And it's probably because her name, Seo Yuto, is a pun. But anyway, Giselle is pretty popular, experienced, and mean, and Misty is ready to take her down. Meanwhile, Team Rocket sees Pokemon Tech and bemoans their past, revealing that they both flunked the exam and cry and moan for their non-existent futures. They sneak to the window to watch Misty battle the student they found in the woods, Joe, who thinks that he can beat Misty because he's challenged Cerulean on the simulator. Misty wins against his Weeping Bell, proving that experience is a far better teacher, and Giselle shows up on the scene to lecture Joe about making such a careless assumption, because, you know, Misty's Pokemon have real-world battle experience. Ash and Brock swoon again, and even James is won over, and Misty's had about enough of this, but her Starmie is completely schooled by Giselle's Graveler. But when Giselle starts talking proud and condescending about types and levels, and everybody knows this, and beginning trainers should know that, Ash decides that beauty really is only skin deep, and he steps up to the plate. And Giselle rips him to shreds. She insults Pikachu, which is a quick way to get a death sentence from Ash. Nobody insults Pikachu on his watch. And for his part, Pikachu doesn't take kindly to being taunted. And once she brings up the Raichu evolving issue, that's it, she's crossed the line. Ash and Pikachu are out for blood and ready to defend their honor. Giselle sends out Cubone, which should be a problem for an electric type, except here at Team Satoshi, we don't care about type. Ash laughs in the face of the type advantage. We see some of Ash's more unorthodox battle techniques, such as his variation upon the Leer attack, and they manage to win the match when Pikachu temporarily blinds Cubone by turning the skull head backwards. Giselle's surprised, Ash and Pikachu are stoked. Someone might have to remind me, but is this the first real battle that Ash and Pikachu have won? Because the Spearow in the first episode wasn't official, and blowing up the Viridian City Pokemon Center wasn't a battle, and Pikachu didn't fight Team Rocket in the forest, or Samurai, the match with Brock was interrupted, and Pikachu wouldn't fight Misty. So is this their first win, after 2 months? If someone knows, please write in and tell me. Joe is impressed, and Misty tries to downplay it by calling it a fluke, but as Joe says, it was a cool fluke, as is most of the cool flukes in Pokemon. Aim for the horn, ride on. Yes, the Ash factor counts for something. But just as all this is going down, Team Rocket show up for revenge and Pokemon stealing, and Giselle taunts them about their previous flunking, and rallies the students to drive them away. Later, against the romantic setting sun, Giselle and Joe make nice, deciding to follow their dreams and meet again in the Pokemon League, and keeping each other's pictures with them, as Joe has decided to leave the school and get experience in the real world. Ash comments on why he and Misty can't be friends like that, and she replies that it's because Joe doesn't owe Giselle a bike. A few interesting facts about the episode. Ted Lewis steps down as the voice of James, and Eric Stewart steps up. Also, Rachel Ellis did the voice for Pikachu in several of these scenes, as the original dialogue was not always able to be saved. And during Giselle's, we're gonna save and defend our school scene, she's heard of Team Rocket, that they got the worst scores in the history of the school, which is true, they did, but it strikes me that during the time that Jesse and James were enrolled in Pokemon Tech, I don't think they were members of Team Rocket. And if that's the case, doesn't it just seem that Pokemon Tech could be extremely valuable to the police for their ability to track their former students if they're able to, you know, keep tabs on them to such an extent, even the ones that flunked the exam and dropped out, to know that they've gone and joined Team Rocket and then keep their names living in infamy so that, classes and classes later, students not only know about these two students who flunked the exam that one time, but know enough about them to know that they've gone on and joined Team Rocket now. It just strikes me as bizarre and yet kind of awesome. Pokemon Tech and kind of scary. Like, Pokemon Tech is like the FBI. Like, do they know the identities of any other Team Rocket agents? Food for thought. Though I doubt it was planned, the fog at the beginning of the episode is said to be a battle training scenario over the intercom. Now in the games, we have both fog and snow as battle conditions. So Somehow, they thought ahead without thinking ahead. But thank you for listening. As always, this has been Peekaboo Podcast. And if you would like to be like our first reviewer ever, Patrick, you can go to iTunes, where we now are located, and you can download the episodes from there and comment as you see fit. Or you can visit our blog, www.peekaboopodcast.blogspot.com. At either of those three locations, you can leave us your comments, and we'd be so happy to hear from all of you. And please comment on previous episodes, what you think. I'm still waiting for people's theories on where the heck Brock was during episode 7. Or you can comment on episodes coming down the road, because goodness knows we're going to catch all three Kanto starter Pokemon over the next couple episodes. And that's always fun. But whether you join in and comment or not, thank you so much for listening. This has been Peekaboo Podcast. Pikachu, Pikachu, Pikachu. Pikachu! Pikachu!